Blog Talk Radio.
When you want to know the news, they got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
It's a Hooper thing.
Nobody does it like you do it.
It's a Hooper
thing. Listen in and we can prove it. It's so.
Welcome, welcome to Hooper Thing Radio. Today's show, we'll be talking about taking control of your day and life, where we will interview career and life coach Kamal Webster. Welcome, co-host. Well, first, I'm Vivian, one of your three co-hosts. Lisa, you there? Lisa?
I made it.
Okay, all right. Some technical difficulties. Lisa's in the house. Okay. And you've heard him the week before last on our show about racism with his jokes. I am talking about Jeru Boogie Williams is in the house. Boogie, you there?
What's up?
All right. Okay. So glad to be here with you three today.
Our
website. Yes. HooperThingRadio.com. Remember to like us on Facebook and Instagram. Our call-in number is 347-324-5098. Okay, so that's the housekeeping, so the producers won't be mad at me. What's going on, Boogie?
Nothing much, just hanging out. I got, you know, got a good night ahead of me today, so positive energy is out there. How y'all feeling?
Okay. Good.
Y'all good?
Good, yeah.
What happened to you? Anybody got something interesting?
Not really. I don't have a whole lot interesting this week. No. same old over here.
Okay, all right. Viv,
okay.
What you got?
Not a lot. I was looking forward to you. When they told me you would be on the show today in place with Duran, I just lit up. Not that I don't like you hosting with
That's awesome. I appreciate that. I just had, I just had a show, a comedy show last night, and it was amazing. So I don't know. I got good favor right now. I've been killing them.
Okay. You've been
killing. That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Where was your show?
It was in Santa Monica out here in L.A.
Okay.
Yep, it was nice. It was nice. And I like the diversity because now I'm doing, more white crowds, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now I know I'm ready because, it's easy to be funny around your people. I've been funny since I was a kid. But, when you get to that diverse crowd, and you make them laugh too, I might be ready for TV now.
Yes.
Okay.
Polished
you're definitely ready for radio because we keep welcoming you back to Hooper Thing.
I appreciate that. I'm going to get HDR tatted on my chest. I definitely.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Lisa, any new horses? What's going on with your equestrian pursuits?
You know what? I moved up. So I moved from the Chevy Cavalier to the Chevy Impala. So I'm doing big things on the horse riding.
Okay.
So yeah, my new horse is Cha-Cha. I'm loving it. Still in love with it. Going to take it up as a sport. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's my new thing.
I can't wait to get a polo shirt with you on it.
I know, right? With some braids.
Yeah.
Me with a hat on with some braids.
Yeah, on the shirt.
God, silly. Well, let's see. We know what that means.
Uh-oh.
It's time for a second with Minister Paula to get the word of the week. So grab a seat, open up your Bible app, and let's receive the word.
Good evening, the word. Most of us in our car have car lights on our dashboard.
And when one of these lights lights up, it indicates that it's time for service to the engine or change the oil. Now, the first time the light comes on, you wonder, what's wrong? Some of you may look under the hood to give the impression that you know what you're doing. For the rest of us, we just sit there and wait for it to go off or hope it goes off or praise that it goes off. The light comes on in our dash sign to let you know that you're having a deep problem. When the light comes on, light is not the problem. The light is the indicator that something deeper is wrong. Now, unless you are a mechanic, you can't know all that the light is trying to tell you, because underneath the hood, things are beyond your abilities or knowledge. So when the indicator light comes on, that represents that you might need to take it to the dealer. I know when my car light comes on, I know nothing about a car, so I take it directly to the dealer. And the dealer will contact the maker of the car if there's a serious problem, because they understand the make, the model, and the serial number of the car. They have all the parts for my car. By delivering it to my maker, I give any maker the responsibility of servicing it. If you got an indicator light in your life and it's saying things are dark and you've done everything you know to fix that indicator light, but it won't go off, it just keeps shining red and bright, letting you know that something needs to be fixed. On the cross, when Jesus died in your place for our sins, your salvation became your warranty. When you accepted Jesus Christ, eternity in heaven was purchased for you. You will forever live with God when you die, because the gift of salvation is the gift of eternal life if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, you still know that after you buy a car so long, you have a warranty for so long, and then they start calling you and asking you, would you like to take out an extended warranty? Now, you still have to get to purchase a long-time warranty. It's not that you can lose your salvation. The warranty is not related to your salvation. It's related to your service. See, the warranty has to do with servicing you until it's time to trade it in. One day you're going to trade in this body for a new one. One day you're going to trade in your time for eternity. One day you're going to trade in this life for the life to come. If your car fails you, you can go to a mechanic. If your house parts in your house break down, you can call a handyman. If your body breaks down, you can call the doctor. If your clothes are torn, you can call a tailor. If your grades aren't working, you can go to a tutor. But what do you do if your life breaks down? When it's a spiritual issue, only God can fix it. Anything you use to fix a problem in your life cannot compete with the presence of God. When you need to fix your life, there's no better solution than divine intervention. God bless you and have a great week.
Ooh.
Praise
the Lord.
That's
real right
praise
there.
The
Thank
Lord.
You, Mr. Paula.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. Okay. Ooh. Well, thanks, Minister Paula, again. You continue
right.
to bring it every week, and you always
right.
use real-world analogies, which I can so appreciate.
Me
so
too.
For me, this hits home because I have been trying to take things to the Lord. So if there's something going on within my personal life or something where Lisa would normally try to intervene or try to fix or try to change a person or try to, you know, jump in, I have been coming to the point where I – take it to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what is your will? What would you have me do, okay, in this situation, no matter how hard it is, no matter how light it is? And so I can tell you that has become so crucial to my walk, to my marriage, to my role as a mom. I mean, I just love it. So when she was saying take it to the dealer, I was thinking take your life issues to the healer. So thank you, Minister Paula. Thank you, because that was confirmation that, okay, I might be doing something right. But thank you. That's my take.
I feel, I mean, yeah, like I said, when I heard it, I mean, I'm like, God, that was perfect, the check engine light. Like, that's the first thing you do. And then sometimes it even come with a little bell to keep reminding you, like,
right.
you better go look after that engine if you want this mm-hmm. car to last, you know what I mean? And
right.
everybody know, you know, just like our vessels, you know, our car get us from A to B, so you got to take care of your, you know, got to take care of your soul. So, you know, yeah, for me, it was the same thing. Like, it's just about being faithful and having total trust in the Lord and letting go and let God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because we try to throw our little 2 cents in there, like you said, and like my mom always say, you want to make God laugh, like, tell him your plan, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so,
uh-huh.
you know, it's like, you can't, you know, we don't have that how-to book on this one. You know what I'm saying? We got
right,
the Bible
right.
and we got God, and that's our owner's manual right there. So, you know, like I said, I very, very really do appreciate that word right there.
Yeah, and for me, Lisa, it reminds me of something that you said when you came to visit me years ago when I first moved to Texas. You were talking
mm-hmm.
about warning lights. It was you and Cousin Marcy. You guys are here.
Yes.
We were talking about how God gets your attention, and you get a cotton ball, a tennis
mm-hmm.
ball, then a cannonball. So
right.
you get those warnings. Now, it depends on which one you want to listen to.
Right.
And I get in the car and ride up, indicator light to come on, and I'll start thumping it, like, go off. I don't need you flicking on. <You know? laughs> So, and that's the same thing that'll happen in life. And I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to fix it myself. And the Lord has a way of stripping you from your ability to fix it for yourself.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've had those conversations too. And it's like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I have no ability to fix it myself now. So what do I do? And that's the first thing out of Lisa's mouth. Well, what did God say? And I called out to Kathy, and she said, did you talk to God? And I'm like, no, because, you know, I got to take care of this. So you're really, I mean, Minister Paula, you always get us. Hopefully Duran is listening because his soul, we entrusted it to you as the vessel to get him to Jesus. So we, we appreciate you.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was awesome.
Bless you.
All right. So, Lisa.
Okay, so question of the week is, can you really forgive and not forget? Or is it all one and the same?
Mm.
And, right.
Yeah. Right. That's what I like, Lisa.
Okay, so let me tell you, I think that you can forgive, and I do believe that you can forget. I don't know if that's a gift of mine or not, but I can forgive and I can totally forget. But now I can forget to pick up my kid from daycare. So, okay.
Right.
Let me tell you, right.
That's a genetic gift that we have.
Exactly. So let me tell you, if I forgive, if I truly forgive from the bottom of my heart that I forgive you for what you've done, then I can't forget. Now, there are some moments that may trigger it, okay? So if there's something
mm-hmm.
that you may do that makes me feel the same way, the first time you did this offense, then, yeah, it may remind me. But other than that, I can move past almost anything because, like me and my cousins will say, we were raised that love conquers all, really.
Uh-huh.
Our grandma kind of put that in our spirit. My dad put it in our spirit that love conquers all at the end of the day. So if I truly love you, then
right.
there's not too much you can do, you know, that I can't forgive you for.
Right.
Okay, so that's
right.
my take.
I got you on that. And that's a, you know what? You are a better person than me because I just learned something from you today because I still remember that Craig owed me $5 from over there off cashew, and I'll never forget that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
inflation, that's about $35 in today's dollars.
Right. The interest that went up, this, you know, you had this since 2010. You ain't got that 25 yet. So, you know, but I can forgive people, but I think, I mean, it's impossible for me to just totally forget it. I can push it and suppress it. You know, I can push it to the back of my mind and it may not be the forefront. Every time I see you, I ain't going to walk up like, what's up, $25? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I am thinking about it, you know, and I would love it if one day you reached in your pocket and was like, let me go ahead and take care of that. Remember that 25? I'm going to be like, yes, I do. And thank you. Yes, I do. But, you know, I think it is, it's important to forgive just for your own health reasons, because, I mean, to me, that's cancer and worry and stress, mm-hmm. and, you know what I mean, just
right.
things that you need to just let go and, you know, let people build their own bridge, whether it's going to be a
right.
strong bridge or a weak one, let them build it themselves. And, you know, I always keep it in the back of my mind, like I said, but, you know, I'm working on it. Thank you, Lisa. I will.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty good at forgiving and forgetting, but it's contingent. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I've had some people to do some things that, you know, was a definite, a real offense, but they were loved ones who I needed to protect. For my ex-husband, for example, you can't keep
okay.
anything in the forefront of your mind if you want to still have a relationship with somebody who you're tied to for the rest of your life. We have three children.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
I have
right.
to forget a whole lot of stuff, you know? So
right.
And it's okay, you know, if you live in the moment and give us this day, you know, no big deal. But I've also had some people do some scurvy things to me that I forgave them for, but I never let them reenter my life because you're a snake. So what you're going to do
right.
is you have snake tendencies, and I got lambs
right.
here. I can't let
Suspect.
A snake come roaming with my lamb. So,
right.
I think it
and
just
so
depends
that
on.
Person, yeah, in
right.
that situation, you don't love that person.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know,
you
right.
came from the family perspective, which I totally understand, Lisa, but I'm talking about, like, people in general. Like, the family, like, I feel exactly like you. Like, there's nothing that can break us, you know. It's Mati Dada.
Right.
Ain't no ocean,
exactly.
ain't no sea. You know?
Exactly. Now, we might, you know, we might have a falling out, but at the end of the day, you know, we're going to come
yeah.
back to ground zero.
Right.
We're coming back to this place,
right.
and it's all bygones are bygones. You know, it's
right.
Because,
I mean, let something happen to you. Like, you can fall out of a little petty things, but let you get, like, in the hospital or something, or, you know, everybody, people you ain't seen since you were seven there, crying. You
no,
know what I mean? Like,
let me see that cat that owe you $25. Let me
hey,
see
Craig,
him. I got the back.
You.
Man, you
hey, could
have just fell out. And I'm like, oh, Craig, what happened to put you $25?
Craig over there off Cashew next to the barbershop, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Please,
is he over there by Alabama Chicken? Is he over
yes.
there by Alabama Chicken?
Yes.
Okay.
With the lemon pepper. Give me lemon pepper my wings, please.
So, let me see if we have any callers holding the talk right now. Do we have any callers? If not, we're going to go ahead and take a break because we have
okay.
some bills to pay. So let's
bills.
Go ahead and take a break real quick. Yes. Visit
okay.
our website, hoopersingradio.com. Our call-in number is 347-324-5098. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram. Stay tuned because up next is the interview segment with our speaker of the day, Mr. Kamal Webster.
There you go.
Welcome back. And today we have with us a life coach and wellness specialist who, if you listen closely, may just help change your life today. No pressure. But with us today we have Kamal Webster. And as I said, he's a life coach and wellness specialist with extensive experience in creating life-changing success strategies that will take you to the next level. As an ACE certified personal trainer and group fitness instructor with more than 10 years of public speaking, workshop, development, and life coaching experience, he has studied ways to help people not only feel better about themselves, but also on how to coach them into the type of habits that ensure long-term success in their lives. Kamal holds a master's degree in instructional design with a concentration in performance, improvement, and adult learning theories. Helping people become better versions of themselves became his passion in 2001. Since then, he has been using those disciplines to help people discover where their performance gap exists in their lives, to help them connect with their higher purpose, and to teach them how to craft attainable strategic action steps to promote a healthier, happier life. Kamal, welcome.
What up?
Welcome, Kamal. Awesome. Okay, so we'll start right into the interview questions.
Okay.
All right.
There you go, Marley. There you go.
Right. She's like, let her
come, come on with it. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready.
She's like, okay, bring it. So, Kamal, this is Lisa. So my question is, what are some ways or tips to get over the fear of making mistakes?
That's a fantastic question, Lisa. It's natural to fear making mistakes. I mean, none of us wants to make a mistake in any aspect of our life. But we can either use that fear to make us better or really to allow that fear to paralyze us. Now, how many of you all have felt paralyzed by fear before? I know I have, plenty of times. And, you know, mistakes are just a natural part of living and growing. So you have to fail yourself. I think any kind of success strategy involves a lot of self-talk. It's about how you talk to yourself and specifically what you say. So you have to tell yourself, everybody makes mistakes. That's just reality. If I make a mistake, it is not the end of the world, okay? And just kind of repeat that to yourself over and over again. That's step number one. It doesn't have to be a disaster. It doesn't have to be the end of the world. And you can use that mistake as a teachable moment, okay? Step number two involves really basically working as hard as you can at becoming an expert at whatever you set out to do, okay?
Wow.
Becoming really, really good at a particular thing, that proactively prevents a lot of would-be mistakes. You just have to commit to doing the work.
Okay.
You know, for example, if I've researched and studied and practiced becoming a chef, for example, okay, if I know my craft, if I've studied, if I've practiced day in and day out, then the chances of me making a mistake in the kitchen are going to be very minimal. You see what I'm saying?
I see clearly. Do you hear me? Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's about getting good. It's about committing to doing the job, the work, the practice, and getting really good at whatever your craft is, falling in love with it to the point where you want to do it day and night. If you do that thing day and night, then your confidence is going to override your fear of making a mistake. That's how it works.
All right, Ma. Hey, I appreciate that.
Hey,
now look,
Ma.
I got a question. Yeah, he's my dog now. You see how smooth he can?
Hey,
Marley.
Hey.
Listen, Marley.
You know that's what my family calls me. My family calls me Marley, so I love that.
See? Yeah, I feel it already.
Thanks.
Hey, bro.
Okay.
Hey, this Boogie right here, I got a question for
my
you.
My man, Boogie.
But, hey, the one and only. So how, what are some tips to stop procrastinating, putting stuff off to the last minute? Like, what's some tips you got for that?
Well, first of all, you have to find some real value in that thing that you're putting off. It has to be a real payoff for you. If it's something that you don't really care about, then you're going to continue to procrastinate about it. So the thing that I do is I reason with myself by using what I call if-then statements, okay? For example, if I have a deadline and I continue to put this task off, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to rush to get it done, correct?
Right, right.
There's reasoning with myself. If I'm rushing, then naturally I'm going to feel stressed. Or if I'm rushing or wait till the last minute, something might get missed. So it's really about just kind of playing that mind game with yourself and reasoning with yourself with those if-then statements. And you can use that reasoning with even something like your daily household task. Like, you know, if I clean the garage out a little bit every day, then it won't be such a huge job later on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I knock out that work project, then that's going to give me a little bit more time later on to do the things that I love to do.
It's levels to this. Okay, I got your steps.
It's levels.
You know what? See, here's the thing. Success, mental procrastination, career, all the things we've been talking about, they're very simple concepts. They may not be easy in practice, but they're very simple. Just using an if-then statement and evaluating what's important to you. For me, extra time is super important because I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I get to do, not necessarily just what I have to do. So I want to evaluate my if-then statement, put some real value on getting those tasks done quickly, so then I can go hang out with my family. Then I can go travel.
Ooh.
Then I can go read. You know,
Lisa,
so you have to,
that was one of your problems.
Value on.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Marley Marl.
And then the second part of that, is to schedule those action steps. Just like we schedule all the stuff that we do for work for our 9-to-5, you have to schedule those steps and commit to getting it done. That's all it is. It's simple. Not always easy, but simple.
Yeah, because there's no accountability for that. There's no accountability for procrastinating on your own dream.
Sure, sure. And here's the thing. The payoff at the end is all going to go to you. Another thing I do in terms of procrastination is I kind of bargain with myself. I'll say, okay, if I complete that task by a certain time, then I'm going to reward myself with something. You know, you feel me? If I paint that back room by May, then I'm going to reward myself with a spa day. Okay? Right. Things like that. So these are little fun little games that I play with my own mind, but it pays off in the end because it allows me to get more done.
Okay. So I've got one about interviewing. So when interviewing for a position and ask what are your weaknesses, what should you say to that?
Oh, my goodness. That's a hot topic. That's, I think, one of the questions that stumps a lot of people. Now, before you ask that question, you have to realize what most interviewers are looking for, okay? Here's the thing. We go into interviews, we're super nervous because we look at it like a cross-examination, okay? We look at it like we're on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
This is what an interview is. An interview is simply a conversation about you. That's it. It's not an inquisition. You're not on the stand. It's not a cross-examination. It's a conversation about you. And nobody should be able to talk more intelligently about you than you. So once you realize that, you can go into the situation a little more confidently. Now, when it comes to weaknesses, what interviewers are looking for in that moment, they're looking for a human moment. Okay? They're looking for an honest, genuine human moment. Because at that point, they're interviewing you for fit. They're not interviewing you once you get to the interview to see if you can do the job. Your background, your resume has already told them that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're interviewing you to see if you can fit in their system, how your personality is. So they're looking for an honest moment with that question. Now, the key.
Yeah.
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Like what?
Go ahead.
Give me a weakness. Come on.
Well,
thank you for applying for this job. Give me one of your weaknesses. What are your weaknesses?
Okay. You want to give them something that's authentic, but that's not a deal breaker. So, for example, you can say something like,
"I'm late every day."
No,
that's
a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
See,
I need to leave for an hour and a half every day.
What you don't want to do is give them a weakness that's going to get you kicked out of there. Okay.
Okay.
You, for example, something might be you know, I'm painfully shy. You know, but then you follow up and tell them what you're doing to work on that. You know, you'll tell them, like, well, you know, I get shy around crowds or I get shy around a lot of people, but I'm practicing different ways to come out of my shell and be more comfortable in my communication. You're making it general. People can relate to that, and it's not a deal breaker. Okay.
What if you
something
say
like
nothing?
That.
What if they like, what's your weakness? Is you like, nothing. No, I'm just
you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because, like I said,
too confident.
They're looking for a human moment. They're looking to see if you can come off of Superman, Superwoman role, because that's what you've been doing through the resume and through the interview. You've been saying, hey, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. They're looking for an honest moment, a vulnerable moment. So give them
something else. You should say stuff like, I cry at movies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's, you know, something real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that works too. You know, if people can relate to that's a genuine, honest moment.
Okay.
But, you know, something authentic but not a deal breaker. Something that's fixable. All right.
Okay, so Marley Marl, this is Lisa again. My next question, how do you get the life you want if you do not have it already?
That's a big question. I think I have 6 steps. I hope that doesn't go too long for what you all are looking for.
Nope.
But I've outlined 6 steps, and I'm going to make them real quick. But before you even start that 6, you have to start off by thanking God for who you are and where you are. How about that? Thanking God for who you are and where you are. So although you don't have the life you want, you're thanking God anyway for what you do have and where you are.
Okay.
And you're going to ask him for help and guidance. First and foremost, before the process starts. Okay?
Okay.
Now, first step is going to be identify what that ideal life looks like. Because if you don't know, what direction are you going to walk in?
Gotcha.
Step number two, you want to build a vision board or write it down. You want to be able to have somewhere to go where you can look at what your dream looks like and become inspired or get you back on track. Okay?
Okay.
Third step.
Write down a vision board. All right, I'm writing this down. Okay.
Vision board. Oh, I'm writing them down for us, family. Yeah, I'm writing them down. Come on, number three.
Number three, very important, build your team. Surround yourself with people who are going to help you win. Lisa, how about that? Vivian, Boogie, what's up?
Your team.
Lisa, you know that one already.
Right. Build your team. Getting rid of, how about this, negative people in your circle.
Okay.
How about that? That's part of building your team.
Yes.
You know, having people that are counterproductive to your progress, they may be family, friends, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters. Get them out of there.
Okay. Wow. All right. Got you.
Right.
Mama, you gotta go. No, I'm just playing.
You gotta go. Or you can say, but I'll no longer talk to you about my dream.
Right.
Got you. All
right.
Okay. Okay. Got you.
Number four. Action. Draft out an action plan. None of this matters unless you take action. 15 minutes a day. Work on your dream. 15 minutes a day for an entire year. That adds up to 91 hours. You give me 91 hours of uninterrupted focus, I can do anything I want to do.
Okay.
15 minutes a day. That means cutting down a little bit on Facebook, cutting down a little bit of that internet time, that phone time. 15 minutes a day of focus. 91 hours a year. How about that?
Okay.
Y'all got that?
Got that. Oh, what?
All right. Step number five, evaluate. How am I doing? What's working? What's not working? How do I feel? What did I learn? What do I need to adjust? That's step five, evaluating what's going on and how you feel about that, checking in with yourself.
Okay.
And step number six is the sweet spot, the spot that all of us love. Very necessary, but when you're focused, close. When you see the turn up, that's very close. When you're focused, when you are ambitious, a lot of people cut this stuff out. It's the downtime. You need to schedule time to just exist without even thinking about these goals.
Okay.
Time to reconnect with yourself, with God, reconnect with what you love, and just exist in a space of rest, in a serene space of tranquility. And that allows you to kind of recalibrate and gear back up for the next thing. Those are the
six
steps.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so initially, it wasn't a step, but just first you said, thank God. Then first step, identify the life you want. Two, vision board, write it down. Three, build your team, get rid of the negative people. Four, take action steps at least 15 minutes a day. Five, evaluate your progress. And six, turn down for what? Take some downtime. Okay.
Turn down for what? That's it.
Okay. All right. So now, what are some steps to take to get out of a rut, be it career, health, life? If you're just in a rut, what can one do? You mean depression or whatever. Life just kicked your tail, so you just can't find a way to get out this rut.
Right. Great question. I've had several ruts in my life, which really prompted me to kind of start trying to figure out how to be successful and how to do the things that I do right now. The thing you have to remember about a rut is it's not a prison. It's a feeling, okay? And it's not a state. It's just a feeling. You may just have a feeling that, I don't know what to do about my life right now. I'm not where I want to be. I don't know where to start. So if we label it as just a feeling, that means you can change how that feels. The way you change your feeling is you change how you think and you change what you do and change how you talk, okay? First of all, so if you're in a rut, it is not a disaster and it's not permanent because it's only a feeling. And when we trust our feelings, we go wrong. When we look at our feelings as reality, we go wrong. So this is what you need to do. Once again, it's all about action. If we exist in our heads too much, it kind of causes us to live there and feel miserable if we fail to act. So if you're in a rut, you have to ask yourself, What is the first small thing I can do to change my situation? What is the first small thing I can do to change my situation?
Like there wash my
always...
hair, take a shower,
get out of bed, get out of bed, go for a run.
Sure.
Something
sure.
small.
There,
okay.
There should always be an answer to that question. I mean, if I'm in a fitness rut, what's the first small thing I can do? I can take the stairs instead of taking the elevator. That's the first small thing I can do. That's going to change how I feel because I'm changing what I do.
Right.
Wow.
If I'm in a career rut, what can I do? Update my resume real quick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First small thing you can do. And then those action steps build momentum.
Okay.
Once you do one thing, it leads to something else. It leads to something else. And now you're moving. Now you're no longer in a rut. You're in action. You have momentum. You're running. So
okay.
you have to kind
okay.
of just start with that first thing and realize that ruts aren't permanent. It's just a way that we feel temporary.
That's all. Yeah, this two shall pass type of thing. Yeah.
This two shall pass.
Wow.
Absolutely. But you have to do something. You have to change how you think. Change how you talk and change what you do. That will get you out of a rut.
All right, Ma. Look, like, last question for you. This boogie again. What's the difference in setting your goals high and being unrealistic as far as like a career goal?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Be very careful about the word unrealistic. I don't think that there is a such thing as an unrealistic career goal. No such thing. If I'm in the mailroom. Can I be CEO? I most certainly can.
Yeah.
But the thing that happens is many of us like to cheat the process. We like to cheat the process. That's what makes it seem unrealistic. Someone will say, I'm in the mailroom. I want to be CEO next week.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going to happen? Absolutely not. You have to commit to the process. Learning a business by way of formal education or on-the-job experience, okay, that takes a while. Consistently going above and beyond so you can build your personal brand.
Right.
Networking, being hardworking, treating people with warmth, kindness, and respect. And that's something we don't talk a lot about in business. All of those things make any career goal realistic. You just have to submit to the process. There's a process. There's a step A to step Z.
Right.
So there's no such thing as an unrealistic career goal. As long as you are willing to do the work and go through the process. That may take longer than you expected to take, but you have to submit to that. You have
it's
to be
still attainable. Right, okay.
It's all attainable. So, like I said, that word unrealistic, I don't necessarily buy into that concept a whole lot because if you love something, if you work hard at it, you'll get it. You just
got
to do the work.
Gotcha. Appreciate that.
All right.
Molly Mall in the building.
I'm gonna give you a real applause,
not the studio applause. I'm gonna give you a real applause.
Well, I appreciate it.
Bravo.
I'm only sharing the things that I've learned and I'm no expert. I'm going through all of this stuff with everybody else.
Okay.
But what I love to do, my passion is helping people feel better about themselves. So as I learn and as I feel better, I share that information. So, you know,
you're lifting as you climb.
That's
absolutely
the definition of an expert. So you just defined an expert. So we have a caller on the line for you. I have a question for Kamal. Caller, are you there?
What's up, everybody? This is Duran.
Oh, hey, swiper, no swiper.
That was just so fake and shady. That was so not the one.
Hello, you have a question.
I've been here.
My hair was off there.
You know, he had to call on the Get Your Life Together segment.
I've been hearing the jabs y'all been throwing at me all day, but it's okay. I'll be back next week to address them, but it's good. But no, come on. This is such a fantastic interview. I've been so excited to hear this interview. Sorry I couldn't be on the show today, but I do have a question. For me, I keep moving through in life. I keep getting these crossroads where I keep have to make big, major decisions, and everybody on the show knows what I'm talking about. Every time it's the decision. How do you know the difference between if you're making a decision in fear and you're just being logical? Because sometimes I just feel like I'm being logical, and then other times I'm like, okay, well, am I just making so much reasons, because you can make reasons for reasons for reasons, that that's the reason why I'm not doing it. So what's the difference between fear and logic?
Well, it goes back to my initial point about asking God for guidance and trusting mm-hmm. him. And, you know, God's going to lead you in a certain direction. Now, here's another question. How do you feel about that decision? If you feel uneasy, that's God talking to you saying, you might not want to do that. If you feel peaceful and clear about it, then that might be something that you can explore. But you have to take time with it. You have to take time. You have to really think about it and, you know, do your deep breathing, center yourself, and that will allow you to make sound decisions. Now, here's another thing about life. Life is made up of major decisions. It's trial and error. So if you misstep, if you make a mistake, you can most certainly learn from that and say, okay, that was the wrong decision. Let me try something else. That's what life is about. So I don't think you have to overthink necessarily, you know, these major decisions and how, you know, just do your thing, trust God, you know, trial and error, figure out what feels right, and then keep moving forward.
All right, now, mm-hmm. you just fool right. me, hashtag get your life. All right, y'all.
Hashtag get your life. And hurry up.
All
and
right.
I wanted to add on that. One of my cousins mentioned this to me, and I thought it stuck with me. She basically said that life, you know, if you think about it, this isn't a rehearsal. You only get one shot at this. You only have right. one life. So live it.
Right.
Right.
Yo,
there's no rehearsal. There's no dry run. This is it.
Absolutely.
And you don't know when it's going to end.
Exactly.
So
and to add to that, the longer you sit and wait and think about it, you're going to look up, and a decade is going to pass you by.
Right.
So sometimes you just got to jump in. Sometimes you got to jump.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jump, baby, jump.
Okay. Well, come on. We want to keep you around. But, Duran, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, I forgot you were a call-in guest. I was just about to keep it moving. Sorry. Anything else, Duran?
Thank
you for calling this show today.
Thanks, caller. Whatever. I'll see y'all next week. I love y'all. Mwah, mwah. Bye.
I'll see you next week.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah,
you
and bye-bye.
No, D-Ran, much love to D-Ran.
That's right. And just in case we have any other callers who have any questions or anything like that, Kamal, can you stick around for a little bit?
I absolutely can.
Okay, great. So, any other questions? Boogie, you good? You feel like you got
your
life
good.
Back?
No, I'm good. Hey, I got my whole life back.
Lisa?
All right, Boogie, so you got your life back. What's he going to do with it, brother? We going to see you on TV? What, I mean, come on, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Hey,
I'm ready.
It's coming. I'm telling you, man, that ball is rolling, man. You know, I can't even begin to explain to y'all the stuff that's been happening within just the past few months. Like, been getting calls and meeting people and just blessings upon blessings, man. You know what I mean? Get ready to spend this money. No, I'm just like,
right.
Here we go.
I will be there. No, I'm just because
you all, you know, all right. I figure I'm just going to go out on top, man. I'm just going to give it away, you know, because my kids, if I could do it, you could do it. I'm not leaving you nothing.
Okay.
We
cool.
spending this, y'all. We spending it.
Nice. Oh, we
but
have
thanks,
another
Kamal.
Caller on the line.
Oh, we got another caller. Let's get the caller.
Let's see what we got. Caller, you there?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to say I am Boogie's mother, and this is my I'm calling in, and I couldn't have picked a better show. Kamal, you were very, very good, and I enjoyed
you.
Even you're never too old to learn.
Wow, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate
and
that.
And so I just wanted to tell the family that keep up the good work. You guys are doing a great job. Alton, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Lisa, I am so proud of you. I couldn't have a better daughter. And I didn't get the other young lady's name.
Vivian.
Hi, Vivian. It's nice
Hi.
To meet you. But
you
I
too.
Enjoyed the show. This was my first time calling in, and I will be calling in again.
Awesome.
And
thanks,
I heard what you said about Mama, bye.
Oh, it was a joke.
You
got to
cut
you.
People
I
loose.
Love
yeah.
You. I love
you. Know
you.
I'm your number
joke.
One fan.
I
know
you're my
it's
number
jokes,
one fan.
Baby.
Number
you
one
know
fan.
I know.
I love it.
who get chastised on the radio? Jesus, my mama. I love it. That's my number one fan. I love you, Mom.
Yes.
That's when you come up. You get your chest. You get chastised on the radio. But we got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Visit our website, hoopthingradio.com. Call in number 347-324-5098. If you want to ask Jeru something or you want to comment on the show, I'm sorry, I'm all getting back. Boogie, if you want to ask something, if you got something for Kamal, press 1, and the producers will let us know that you want to speak. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Instagram. Stay tuned, because what's next is What's the Latest?
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues, from the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
It's a Hooper Thang.
Nobody does it like you do.
It's a Hooper Thang.
Listen in and we can prove it. It's so
okay, welcome. Now, I have a question, Viv.
Yes.
Because I'm filling in. Is it rants and raves?
Well, you know what? Our little backlit outline that we got there, What's the Latest? But down here it says rants and raves. So.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that this over here is not too. Okay. But guys, so we are going to do rants and raves, and everybody's familiar with the segment. We love it. So my rant for the week is my family interviewed and auditioned for Family Feud, and we did not get picked. Like, we were so looking forward to meeting Steve Harvey, okay? So, but it was a great experience. We would do it again if it came to a city near us, but maybe it just wasn't the time. And so that's what I'm releasing and accepting. Okay. So my rave is I thank God for my extended family. And so when I say my extended family, I mean people outside of my small unit, my husband and my three kids. I have cousins. I have aunts. I have uncles. I have a mom who I can rely on. I have brothers who hold me down. So if I'm going through something, one, I take it to God, but I also take it to my extended family. And I have a family member for every situation. Finances, I'm going to call this person. Relationship, I'm going to call this person. You know, cooking, I'm going to call this person. So
what
I
you call me
so
for?
Everything, okay? She's a hot pot. She's my smorgasbord, okay? She's like the buffet. Okay, today I need macaroni and cheese. Let me call you. Okay, today I need fried chicken. But okay, so I am so thankful and grateful for that. I understand that's a gift, that everybody doesn't have that support system. So that's my rant and my rave.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, I hate that you ain't making on Family Feud. I would love to look up there and see the Coker family, and he'd have been like, y'all look real good. Y'all look real good. You know how everybody look real good as a family. Y'all look real good on TV. Y'all look real good.
Did you see their video?
Nah, I gotta look.
They had a little video on Facebook. It was beautiful. I don't understand who they can put on the show if not them.
That's
awesome,
cool.
All right.
Well, I'm gonna do mine kind of. I'm gonna reverse mine. I'm gonna rave, then rant, because you understand. My rave is that I'm performing next month at the school I went to, Western Michigan University. They called me back to do a show, so I'm pretty excited about that. To go back and do that stage. And but my rant is I have to buy my own plane ticket. Like, what's up with that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's when you know you kind of made it, but not really. Like, we need you here. We'll do anything for you except get you here. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, come on.
Like,
it's level.
So,
it's level.
Yeah, it's level. So that's my rave. I'm happy I'm, going home to do the show. I get to see my family, my mom and everybody. But I'm ranting because, come on now, give me that first class on Delta.
Awesome. Hey. That, you know what? That shows your level of commitment.
Yeah, I'm humble.
I'm going to take care of everything else. Just
ride
with
me.
And just show me how serious you are about getting here. Okay.
Exactly. And that's why it's not even a problem. I'll do it. I'll ride in the bottom with the luggage. It's cool. I'm with it.
I like that. I like that. Not with the puppies, though.
Not with the puppies. Well, I hang with the dogs. Two dogs. I'm wrong.
We from these streets. Okay.
Right. It's real.
It is real. My rants. I really don't have a rant this week, but I got a rave. I got two raves. One rave is went to a college fair this week, well, last week, and got a lot of good information, like found out that my daughter can go to Florida A&M on a full scholarship if she gets 1,800 on the SAT and 3.5 on the GPA. And finding that out in the sixth grade is great.
There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. So
go.
That's some really valuable information there. Yeah, a lot of dollars are out there for people who score 1,800 on their SATs or better. So I don't know what that really means, because I think her last time she tested, it was like 14 or 15. So we got a long way to go to get to 1,800. But
hey, levels.
It's levels to this.
Right,
we got the action plan, right.
Baby steps.
And my other rave is next week I will be in San Diego visiting Duran. I'm going to be off the Pacific Ocean chilling.
Hey, I'm going to have to come hang with y'all.
Yes. Please do. And I snatched my daughter out of school for that one day. She hasn't missed a day this year, so I said, come on. The ticket was like $90 to go for a day.
Wow.
So I told her, you know, we're going to take a mother-daughter trip and bounce. So,
yeah.
But that's it for me. I think we have somebody else on the line who wants to talk to us. Do we have another caller waiting? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi.
Well, since everybody else is introducing themselves, after a glass of wine, this is Lisa's mom. I just want to put you on blast.
What is this? What is this?
Put you on blast.
What is this? This is a Monday edition. I love it.
Yeah. This is Boogie's godmother.
That's my godmother.
Kamal, I wish you were in my... I'm adopting you. I loved everything about you, what you said. I just...
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, ma'am.
That was my BFF who called in, my godson's mom, and she hit on the nail when she said, you're never too old to learn. Because I really learned a lot.
Thank you.
I'm
so glad.
I did. I appreciate it so much. I really did. And... Vivian, you wrote everything down, right?
Yes,
you got all those
I
numbers.
Did.
You got everything listed?
Yes.
Good. We'll be checking back in with you. Couldn't put the glass of wine down fast enough to get a pencil.
To write it.
You don't have to. I got it. And we can put Kamal on speed now. We brought him into the family. So
isn't he good? Oh, I just enjoyed the show. I've enjoyed it every week. But this is the first time that I've had the opportunity to speak. And I just want to say you guys are doing a great job. And I'm sorry that, what is it, next week is the last week or what?
Yeah.
I'm going to check on your grandson next week.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I love that. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's all right. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not going to hold you guys. I just wanted to say God bless you all. And what are we going to do? Everything that Kamal said, we're going to put it into action.
That's right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
you
so much
for that.
Next time
love
I'll
you.
For dinner,
I love you, too.
Lisa over there drawing a vision board right now. I love you, Auntie.
I sure am. I'm like, let me see that vision board, Ma. Yeah, you're inviting me over for greens and macaroni and cheese. Let me see your vision board.
Let me see
your
vision board. Hey, okay, we got to take another. I don't think we have time for another break. So we just going to forget what Duran would normally do because he ain't here.
We changing up stuff. We change stuff, son. That's how we do it.
Yes.
We raw.
That's how we do it. But, Boogie, it's been wonderful having you around. Man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. I swear, first time you asked me to do it, I was like, absolutely. And then he wanted me to host. I was like, yeah. He's like, I apologize last minute. Like, there's no excuses.
Right. Okay, so like, you get less than a minute. I need you for one more minute, and I need you to stay because we got to leave, and it's time for us to get off the air.
On our married single divorce.
Yeah, kick it.
Okay. I'm going to hit it off for the single people. You know, like, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me patience and choosing a life partner, a wife. You know,
Met some amazing ladies in my life, and we had fun, and, you know, I enjoyed them, and they enjoyed me, and we learned from each other. But I haven't met that one yet that I just, you know, can't live without. I haven't met my oxygen yet. But I refuse to settle because I want what God wants for me. You know, I want what he has made for me, and I believe that she's out there, and I refuse to, you know, dumb that down. So, plus, you know, for the past 3 years, I've been getting to know myself a little better, you know, knowing what I like and what I don't like so that, you know, when I do meet her, I'm not giving her a stranger. I'm giving her somebody that's confident in themselves and know what they want and don't want out of life. So,
so do we have a comment on this as a married person?
Yes, come on, please bring it, Lisa. We
I'm going to do it real quick.
So Boogie is single. He's a good catch. And here's the deal. This is what I've learned as being a married woman. The thing is, you have probably ran across that woman, but she didn't abstain. I think the woman you run across is going to be the one that says, you know what, until we get married, you will not get the cookies.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Honestly, that's what I believe. I believe that in my gut, in my soul. You've been around this world for 30-something years. That woman who stands her ground and says, until we say I do, you will not be with me intimately, that's going to be
And you know what? I swear, I totally respect that. And, you know, I'm just going to take my time with that and, you know, take my time.
I'm not saying that you're not going to pursue as a man. I'm just saying the one who can hold her ground.
I mean, don't be putting me out here like that. I'm selective, too. Come on, now. I ain't just out here. Come on.
Right.
You know, I ain't retired from Watch Mozambique. I got class. You know what I mean? Like,
no, silly. Right. And I have to agree with Lisa. I do have to agree with Lisa when you're picking a wife.
That's just my.
I agree.
You've been around the game for this long.
Right.
And you really want a wife.
Right.
The one who stands her ground and says, I like you, I love you, and where you're going, I want to be in your corner. But, until we say that this is legit and we're going to, you know, I think that's it. And you tell me if that's what happens. If I'm ever at your wedding, you were right.
But,
I can understand
that. We definitely want to thank you, Minister Paula, for the word of the week. And thank you, Kamal, for being on the show today and giving us some wonderful tips. And thank you, Lisa and Boogie, for filling in for Durant and Jamal. I missed you, Jamal. I know I didn't say it because I've been dogging Durant, but I missed you. I missed you. go to our website, HooperThingRadio.com or blogtalkradio/HooperThing to listen to past shows. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram, and make sure you tune in next week, same time, same place, for the season finale. The co-hosts are interviewing each other and asking some hard-hitting questions, a segment called You Better Tell the Truth. Until next time, keep God in your hearts and in your minds.
Okay.